Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caribou, and we are getting ready for a Green Bay Packers divisional round NFL playoff game this upcoming Sunday at Lambeau Field. And I don't know about you, I'm ready to put the events of this week behind me. It's been a sad week in Green Bay. The passing of offensive coordinator Joe Philbin's son continues to dominate the news. Hopefully that'll become a distant memory. I'm sure it's going to take time, but it's a sad story that all the attention this week has been on. And in addition, a story that's gotten a little less pub, but still unfortunate in itself, offensive lineman T.J. Lang's father passed away, I think it was last Thursday. And he was just recently, you know, having to deal with funeral arrangements, things like that. I think they're all done now, and T.J. Lang is ready to rejoin the team. But these two events combined have made for a somber week in the world of the Green Bay Packers. But, you know, I almost hesitate to say this, but I mean, if there's good timing to what happened, I suppose it's that it happened earlier this week. You know, news kind of broke that it was Joe Philbin's son that unfortunately drowned on Monday. And, you know, I think the Packers had gotten in most of their work on Monday by the time that news broke, and they had off yesterday. Yesterday was a really good grieving day, I suppose you could say, for the Packers. Because now, today, Wednesday, it's back to practice. It's back to getting to work and about preparing for the NFC divisional round opponent, New York Giants. The Packers get to work today. First practice since last Thursday. Almost a week has elapsed since their last practice. 6 days. Long time. Not that the Packers haven't been busy. They had meetings on Monday. They were certainly watching the games over the weekend, preparing, seeing what their next opponent has in store for them. But now it's time to get back to work. And, you know, I think that's probably usually best for anyone who's dealing with, you know, tragic circumstances like this. Getting to work takes your mind off of it. Now, I'm certainly aware Joe Philbin himself is going to have to deal with this a little bit longer than perhaps the rest of the organization. It's questionable whether, you know, he'll return this game, if not, you know, the rest of the playoffs as well. But, you know, maybe at some point he comes back, and for the rest of the team, you know, it's work that takes your mind off of this. I used to be a high school teacher, worked at Fond du Lac High School, one of the largest high schools in the whole entire state of Wisconsin. And when you know, we had, you know, thousands of kids. It was almost 1,000 per grade level, you know. So you're talking a building with 4,000 people that I worked in, you know, and that now you add the staff, teachers, and support staff as well, and you know, thousands of people joining, and it, you know, it became rather regular occurrence within that building when I worked there that you dealt with tragedy. Somebody, unfortunately, you know, you dealt with it quite frequently, and I remember, you know, people talking about, especially for the kids who, you know, having to deal with death, it was always good for them to be in class and you know, get back to the grind. Take your mind off of it. Take your mind off of things. And, you know, certainly it's not easy. I'm not saying that. But that's what you have to do sometimes. And now that's what the Packers are going to start to do today. Get back to practice and get back to preparing for the New York Giants. By the way, If you want to comment on today's show, please feel free to tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags CheeseheadTV. And those comments will show up on our live blog, or feel free to use the Twitter widget underneath the broadcast player. I'm not sure if anybody's approving comments today. I apologize for that. Sometimes we're shorthanded here at Cheesehead TV and the Railbird Central show, but appreciate it all the same that everyone is showing up. And if you want to comment as well about anything that's going on in the world of the Green Bay Packers, I left the phone number up on the screen. It's area code 646-797-2909. Feel free to call into the show, and that way your voice can be heard as well. Phone number up on the screen. So, you know, let's get to it. I leave this morning's Packers Daily Links. I leave a link to it at the top of the live blog if you scroll up. And top story today, linebacker Clay Matthews says the Packers will dedicate this weekend's playoff game to the Philbin family. Story here at ESPN.com. The interview with Clay Matthews originally aired on ESPN Radio on the show The Herd with Colin Cowherd. And Matthews talked about, certainly had to address, you know, the tragic situation that happened. It's almost impossible for the players to avoid this, you know, in an interview that's, it's what's going on, and not that, you know, any interviewer wants to dwell on it, but I think it's appropriate that a question or two is asked and how they're dealing with it, and certainly the public is interested in knowing as well. And, you know, here's what Clay Matthews had to say about the situation, and this comes from ESPN.com's NFC North blogger, Kevin Seifer, quoting him here. Matthews said, quote, "The Packer organization is truly a family-first environment. We feel for the Philbin family. I think it goes without saying that this game and how we approach it and how we play will definitely be dedicated to him. Hopefully we do it the right way." So, there you go. Clay Matthews saying the team will dedicate this weekend's game to Joe Philbin and the family. And, you know, appropriate, certainly, under the circumstances in the wake of events that happened, that have transpired in and around Green Bay over the past week or so. So, you know, it's... I'm kind of going off on a slight tangent here, but I wanted to address this as well. You know, there was a report 2 years ago that Michael Philbin, Joe Philbin's son, you know, I'm going off the top of my head here, but you know, he got in trouble with the law for I don't think it was rape, but sexual abuse. I'm not even sure what the exact term was, but he had gotten in trouble with the sexual acts with underage girls. And, you know, it's unfortunate. And I've seen some comments out there that they don't feel bad for what happened to Michael Philbin. And I think that's sad that somebody would say that. I mean, when this happened to Michael Philbin, he, I think, was an adult. I think he was 18 years old. He would have been currently 21. In fact, just turned 21, like in late December, I think, so not long ago at all. So he, you know, he's a young man, an adult, but a young man. And when he got in trouble with the law a couple of years ago, he was really young still, 18 years old. And you know, it's one of those things that I don't think that you know, he was fully mature yet. He probably wasn't thinking about what he was doing. And I think, although he certainly had to pay the price for what he did, that, you know, everybody in life deserves a second chance. And to my knowledge, that was his one and only brush with the law. Certainly, if there were others, I'm unaware of it. But, you know, so there you go. And I don't think it was actually, you know, quote-unquote rape. So, I mean, he got himself in a bad situation, made a poor choice, and so I saw a couple times messages this past week that say they don't feel sorry for Michael Philbin, and I think that's, you know, he made a mistake, no doubt about it. He should pay the price, but I think, she said Kevin here on the live blog, putting it perfectly, we all make mistakes and we must learn from them. And I hope that's what he did. I don't know. I don't know him personally. But I mean, it's a tragic loss for the family. It's a tragic loss for, you know, the Packers organization. So, you know, it is what it is. And you know, I hope everybody would show respect, at least if nobody else, for Joe Philbin, is going through a tough time. This is a family that lost a son, and I think it was a family of six children, a large family. So somebody who lost a brother as well. So. You know, that's, I just had to say that, and I see right now on our live blog, comments are now being approved, so feel free to comment away. And I see the comment from Alex on the live blog, tried to call show, number does not work. I'm not sure what the deal is there. We have the Skype line going on, and I don't know. Sorry if anybody else has tried to call in. I'll try to look that up and find out what's going on with our phone line. But for the meantime, we'll just talk here on the live blog here on Railbird Central. You know, also, you know, the news came out on Monday that, you know, that Joe Philbin's son had died, had drowned. The Oshkosh police had originally, on Monday, kept that information confidential. There were news reports out there where reporters had talked to sources and, you know, found out that it was indeed, unfortunately, Joe Philbin's son. Just yesterday, the Oshkosh police officially confirmed that information. So, you know, that was kind of in the news yesterday, that it was officially confirmed. And again, that information is in our Packers Daily links here at Cheesehead TV as well. Offensive coordinator Joe Philbin made a statement through the organization through a press release, you know, certainly not going in depth and not asked any question by reporters, just made a statement on the situation. And this is Joe Philbin's statement that he made, quote, "We love Michael so much and will miss him dearly. He loved his family, friends, and life. His memory will live on the hearts and minds of all who knew him. We are appreciative of the prayers and the support of our family, friends, and the Packers family. We ask for continued respect and privacy for our family as we deal with our loss," end quote. And Joe Philbin went on to thank the Oshkosh Police Department and the rescue crews and things like that. And very nice gesture that he made there. And you have to imagine that Joe Philbin will not be coaching this week during the you know, Packers playoff game this upcoming Sunday against the New York Giants. Again, nothing has been confirmed here, to my knowledge. I think Aaron Rodgers indicated as much during his weekly radio appearance on ESPN radio affiliates in Madison and Milwaukee yesterday. Nothing from the organization has come out as official. But you have to imagine Joe Philbin will not be taking part in this upcoming Sunday's game, and understandably so. And head coach Mike McCarthy had addressed as early as Monday during his press conference that day that the Packers would have plans in place in case Philbin cannot make it. He usually, if I'm correct, stays up in the booth during games and kind of helps dictate the game from there, you know, watching what's going on and relaying that information to the sideline, even though he does not call plays. Although his information and his insight goes into the game plan during the week and plays that might be called during the week as they prepare, but not particularly on game days. But anyhow, you know, enough about this story. It's sad, and I think we do have a game here to come up and for us to get our mind off of it and prepare for the upcoming game would be a good thing as well. And, you know, I suppose as I transition here, you know, one of the other stories in the world that involved the Green Bay Packers yesterday was that of Raiders GM Reggie McKenzie, new general manager, former Packers personnel man Reggie McKenzie, making a bold move yesterday in Oakland, firing head coach Hugh Jackson. You know, basically wasting no time. Reggie McKenzie had just gotten that job, and it didn't take him long to move on and make his own hire in Oakland. And you know, attention has really turned to now all of a sudden, when do the Packers assistants flock to Oakland? Well, I don't know if they'll flock, but, you know, people have wondered whether, you know, he's going to try to get some a coach or coaches to go out to Oakland to help him out there, give them a little bit of promotion. And, you know, I've already seen five names, I think, connected with the Packers that could be candidates for the head coaching job out in Oakland. And, of course, Reggie McKenzie, knowing them intimately from, you know, his time in Green Bay, there could be easily, you can imagine, a connection happening there. You know, the names that pop up the most have been Packers assistant head coach Winston Moss, who also happens to be the inside linebackers coach. He's interviewed for the Raiders job in the past. If I'm correct, he was a former Raiders player at one point. And you know, so there's kind of the connection there. So as well as to McKenzie. So, I mean, there's several connections that kind of point in the direction of a Winston Moss. Safeties coach Darren Perry has been mentioned. Quarterbacks coach Tom Clements has been mentioned, who was a candidate for the Penn State head coaching job in college. And actually, offensive coordinator Joe Philbin being mentioned as well. And you know, it's kind of almost unfortunate that the timing of this, you know, Joe Philbin has been interviewing for a couple head coaching jobs, interviewed for the job in Kansas City that was, you know, eventually given to Romeo Crennel, but Philbin had interviewed for it, interviewed for the head coaching job with the Miami Dolphins that, if I'm correct, that job has still not been filled in Miami. And it's almost unfortunate for a guy like Joe Philbin that, you know, the timing of this, a guy who possibly could be considered for a promotion, getting a head coaching job out there somewhere, and perhaps he still will. I'm not ruling this out, but it's certainly not saying working in his favor from a professional standpoint, as obvious as that is to say. But anyhow, I mean, a lot of connections being, you know, made to the Oakland Raiders from Green Bay. And, you know, it's I had also heard former Packers assistant Marty Morenweg mentioned as well for that head coaching job. Ted the Sledge commenting on our live blog, "Reggie certainly seems willing to stomp the tundra out there, and that place is overdue for a house cleaning." So yes, the Oakland Raiders getting ready for a house cleaning. And I thought it was interesting, you know, just how quickly he is, you know, gone to work in Oakland and cleaning house, as it were, for Reggie McKenzie. And you know, what struck me is, you know, you could look at it in this way, and maybe, you know, this is an oversimplification or I'm overthinking it too much, but had the Raiders retained Hugh Jackson, that possibly could have bought Reggie McKenzie more time in terms of his own job stability. You know, because if Jackson doesn't work out well, then you know, Reggie McKenzie basically by ownership is given the time to the notion is, well, he didn't have his own head coach. He didn't hire him. It wasn't his hire. So if it doesn't work out, McKenzie, you know, in a year or two hires his own head coach and is given that time to see how things work out then. But instead, he fires Jackson right away. And, you know, it could be conceived that, you know, this is possibly, if the next head coach of the Raiders doesn't work out, that this isn't going to reflect poorly on McKenzie and giving him less time to establish a winner in Oakland. So, you know, I comment on that yesterday on Twitter and had gotten a response that, you know, you can look at it on the flip side of the coin as well, and saying that, you know, by not making a move, you know, McKenzie could be seemingly setting himself back a lot quicker as well if things don't work out with Hugh Jackson. And that's obviously the way McKenzie thought about it. He wants his own staff, and he didn't like the way Hugh Jackson was taking the direction of the Raiders. And, you know, now we wait. Now we see if the Raiders will raid anyone from Green Bay. And you know, it's going to be a while now because, you know, I think as NFL rules work, teams that are in the playoffs, you can't interview for a job unless you have a bye week. So the Packers already had their bye week. That's what allowed Joe Philbin actually to interview for Kansas City, Miami, when they, you know, had the bye during the wild card round of the playoffs. And now any team in the NFL, for that matter, that's still alive in the playoffs, their assistant coaches couldn't interview anywhere until the bye week before the Super Bowl. So, you know, they're hamstrung, the Raiders are, a little bit. If they want to hire anybody from the Packers, they're going to have to wait at least until that point, or until the Packers lose, for that matter. But nobody's thinking that way around here, right? The Packers getting ready to take on the New York Giants on Sunday. And, you know, there's a lot of attention going on to a couple games the Giants and the Packers have had recently. Everybody's pointing to, one, the game against the Giants earlier this season, mid-season, mid to late season. You know, they met in the regular season. And the Packers, one, had beat the Giants in New York. But it took until the last few seconds of the game for the Packers to wrap all that up. If you remember, the Giants had scored with, you know, just about 1 minute remaining in the game to tie the game. And then the Packers getting the ball back with less than a minute remaining. And Aaron Rodgers just expertly drives the Packers down the field, puts them in position for the game-winning field goal that was kicked with just seconds remaining, and Packers go on to win. So, you know, that's one game getting a lot of attention for the Green Bay Packers and the Giants in the run-up to the game, the playoff game this weekend. The other is, of course, the 2007 NFC Championship game, the last time the Giants came to Lambeau Field in the playoffs, the last time the Packers have lost a home playoff game. In fact, I think that was just the last time the Packers had a home playoff game in general, win or loss. And so now, you know, this, you know, there was a lot of players on both sides who played in that game, albeit it was, you know, what, 4 years ago now, but still. I mean, there's a lot of players who were around in that game. You look at all the stars for the Packers who played in that game. I mean, we're talking about you know, Charles Woodson, Donald Driver, Greg Jennings, Scott Wells, Chad Clifton. Those guys all played in that game. Aaron Rodgers didn't play but was around. Of course, that was Brett Favre's last game as a Packer, as a member of the Green Bay Packers. And throws the interception in overtime, and the Giants win, of course, and go on to win the Super Bowl, beat the undefeated New England Patriots. and quite the story that was there. So, you know, now the Packers getting the rematch against the Giants here. And, you know, a lot of players from the Giants around for that as well. I'm certainly not as much of an expert on the Giants as I am the Packers, but certainly Eli Manning was the quarterback back then and, you know, led the Giants to victory. And now people wonder if he can do it again. Cheesehead Kevin on the live blog talks about the comments on our live blog here. O-line play is key for the Pack. If they keep A-Rod clean, the Pack should win. And you know, just to spark discussion here, I might point to this past weekend's game between the Giants and the Falcons, and you can see that, you know, that you could make the argument that generally the Falcons kept Matt Ryan clean. You know, they avoided sacks. The Giants had 2 sacks against the Falcons, which, you know, isn't an outrageous number. I mean, ideally you have 0 sacks if you're an offense, but I mean, overcoming 2 sacks in a game isn't, you know, anything out of the ordinary. And so can the Packers, you know, can they win if they keep A-Rod clean? You know, but you can make the argument, too, that the Giants harassed Matt Ryan all day during this past playoff game in the wild card round. Even though they didn't sack him a ton of times, he was hurried and he was pressured and he was rushed and he was hit. So I mean, what happens if the Giants do that to the Packers? If their defensive line gets through the Packers' offensive line and rushes Rodgers, gets in his face, hits him after he releases the ball, you know, what happens then? Can the Packers overcome that? You know, I would say they have most of the year. I mean, this is certainly a team that's done very well as of late. That goes without saying. The Packers have you know, performed well in the face of adversity. You know, I think it's something like Aaron Rodgers has been sacked 35 times this year. But it's one of those things where the Packers overcome it. You know, Aaron Rodgers is not about to force throws, make interceptions. He will gladly take a sack in terms of the negative outcome that could possibly happen while trying to get rid of the ball, you know, forcing it, throwing it into coverage, possibly getting intercepted, turning it over. And Aaron Rodgers is so good, even when he gets hit, he doesn't fumble. Of course, Bob McGinn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel had outlined that in depth in an article earlier this season, that how much Aaron Rodgers, you know, just does not turn the ball over, even fumbles it, which is really kind of an underrated reason Aaron Rodgers is so good, and something the casual fan has you know, doesn't really pay attention to too much. Quarterbacks have a lot of fumbles in the NFL. You know, it just happens when they get hit, they get sacked, they fumble the ball. And Aaron Rodgers just kind of has a sixth sense about him to cradle that ball and not let it get away from him. You know, because it's inevitable. He's going to get hit at times. You know, it's, and every quarterback is. And when you do, you got to protect the ball. Comment from Colleen on the live blog, Aaron Rodgers is no Matt Ryan. Yes, no Matty Ice, huh? Man, I just think about last year, all the attention that was on Matty Ice 1 year ago in the playoffs when the Atlanta Falcons were the top seed in the NFC. And, you know, it's almost scary to think that, you know, that happened to the Falcons last year where they lost as a top seed. And now this year, the Packers are the top seed. But the Packers are playing well, certainly. and should be ready for a matchup with the Giants this upcoming Sunday. And you know, it's playoff time now. It's do or die time, and you know, great time of year to be watching football. Certainly, that's why everybody's listening to this show, right? To get ready for the game. You love the Green Bay Packers, and I have to mention, everybody who's watching this show right now, thank you so much for listening to it on Monday. I think we had the most viewers ever for Railbird Central for a live group. So thank you so much for listening. I certainly appreciate it, and it makes it worth doing here on this show in the morning here at CheeseheadTV.com when we have so many people listening, and not only the live crew, but of course we podcast this show, and which we have hundreds of subscribers on iTunes, and those people who listen to it on a delayed basis as well. We appreciate your support. And glad we can provide that service here at Cheesehead TV, so thank you so much. Anyhow, it's now past 9 o'clock, and we're going to wrap it up here on Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. Send all you people, you know, seeking out Packers information, going to send you over to ESPNMilwaukee.com so you can go listen to the Green and Gold today. Anyhow, thanks everyone for joining us this morning. We'll be back on Friday. Guest on Friday, Tyler Dunn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Happy and excited to have him join us on this podcast on Railbird Central Friday morning. Ty Dunn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. So come back then. Come back to Cheesehead TV for your coverage of the Green Bay Packers all week long. And we'll see you later. I leave you with a song called Barker by Keller Williams on Cy Fidelity Records. Go Pack Go. I will see you later, everyone.